Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Your phone call is welcome at 869-1330. This is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. You can also listen to us by downloading the Odyssey app or by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS radio. And make sure you like and share the John Whitmer Show on Facebook and True Social. And of course, follow me on Twitter at John R. Whitmer. Those are the best ways to stay informed on all the latest show updates. Little Beatles, Hard Day's Night. Of course, over the past year, we've had a lot of hard days nights. Especially thanks to Joe Biden. So over the past year, Joe Biden has been blaming, Putin's war, the COVID-19 pandemic, Republicans, greedy corporations, the lack of computer chips, the Federal Reserve, climate change, pretty much everything. For food shortages and inflation, the one thing he hasn't done is accept any personal responsibility for it himself. Joining us now to analyze who's really responsible for the current crisis in America is Daniel Oliver. He is a former Reagan White House official and former executive editor of the National Review and author of the new book, Everyday Epiphanies. Daniel, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have anyone from the Reagan administration on the show. As I mentioned to you before you came on the air, he's got a fond place in my heart. Thanks for joining us, sir.
My pleasure. Reagan has a fond place in my heart, too.
So, I don't know
there's
if you...
There's something to remember about Reagan, which was that people tend to forget, and it's worth remembering now, is that Reagan ran California. He was the governor of California for 8 years, and that's a lot of executive experience. And we know from history, basically, that governors make better presidents and senators, because senators, they run an office full of, you know, maybe 12 people or 25 people. Yeah. And Reagan ran in California for 8 years, and that made a tremendous difference. He knew how to manage a big operation.
Yeah, case in point, we've got a senator in the White House now. So a career politician is not necessarily boding well for the current occupant. I don't know if you heard what he said earlier this week. The president said, I'm doing everything in my power to bring down energy prices. And then he proceeded to cancel a bunch of oil and gas leases in Alaska and the Gulf of Mexico. It sure doesn't seem to me like his actions are matching his rhetoric, are they?
It boggles the mind. I mean, one has to wonder really whether he knows what he's saying, and there's every indication that he may not. He seems very confused, and to say things like that is absurd, of course. One also wonders who is feeding him the material, because there must be somebody there who understands the disconnect between what they're doing and what they have him saying. And it's really quite startling that they would do that when everything else is turning sour as well, when they have a wretched war going on and inflation going through the roof. They say silly things like that. And people are just scratching their heads and wondering who, if anybody, is in charge.
Well, that is the question, is who is in charge? I mean, you served in an administration. You were intricately involved. Do you have any idea? I mean, this whole administration, it does seem to me in many ways that the president is just sort of wheeled out there to read off of a teleprompter. But I can't imagine Joe Biden's actually running things.
No, and you know, he obviously is not. They keep him in a very tight leash. They don't let him wander around and say things. But, you know, I remember attending a cabinet meeting with Reagan once, and I began with a sort of almost a make-work assignment, just sort of clean-up stuff that has to be done. There's a lot of junk work that nobody reads about, nobody cares about, nobody has an interest in, but it has to be done because that's the way you run a big operation. And so I was given this minor task, and I was told to hang on to the notebook because people would try to slip some things in there that the president might not want to see. So we went into the cabinet meeting, and sure enough, I got the briefing book, and somebody had slipped something into it. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what you did in that circumstance. Reagan opened the index to the briefing book, ran his thumb down it, and looked at the offending material and said, "What's this doing here? That doesn't belong here. Take it out. I don't want to talk about that. That's not part of this deal." Right away, he read the table of contents. He understood that somebody was trying to pull a fast one on the meeting, slip something in that nobody had really wanted there, that didn't belong there, hoping to get it passed. And then he went back to having his jelly beans. And I thought to myself, you know, in about 35 seconds, he earned his day's keep by focusing the meeting on what was important, because he really knew, and that was, you know, that was in the middle of the game. He understood it right then. I don't think Biden could do that.
No, I'm not sure Joe Biden is where what he's doing and where he is at any given moment. You also served as general counsel at the Department of Education during the early White House years, 81 to 83 under President Reagan. I'm curious to hear what you think of the current push by many school districts across the country to push, you know, critical race theory, gender identity theory, that kind of stuff in the classroom.
I think it's terrible. And I think that that's one thing that's bad. The other thing that's bad about education is that this administration is wholly against charter schools, basically any way for the nation's school children to escape from the public school. Especially blacks can't get off the public school plantation. So they're simply not getting educated. Their illiteracy is astounding. And every time somebody tries to start a charter school, the feds step on them. They're against privatized schooling because they're in hock to the teachers' unions. And critical race theory is obviously a part of the problem. But the real problem is, and the root of the problem is that people can't start charter schools, so they can't get away from the public school system, which is managed by the teachers' unions and the Democratic Party, who basically are the same people.
Along those same lines, Daniel, you graduated. You're a graduate of Harvard Business School. I'm curious what you think of the way many colleges and universities are being corrupted by, well, for lack of a better term, today's woke ideologues. You know, I mean, Harvard, Yale in particular, you know, they're shouting down conservative speakers, tearing down statues. There's a push this week to rename George Washington University because George Washington is a racist.
I know. It's unbelievable. It really is extraordinary. You can't make this stuff up. And you think to yourself, these people are so crazy that one of these days the public is just going to say, you know, this stuff is just beyond belief. But it may also be that a lot of people simply tuned out. They don't want to deal with people as crazy as this. I don't think the American people anywhere is near the Biden administration folks. They don't know what to do, but I think they don't like it. I think that'll show up in the polls.
I think you're right. I think it's going to be a rude awakening when the red tsunami hits come this fall. We're talking with former Reagan White House official Daniel Oliver. In addition to everything else on your resume, Daniel, you're an expert on the Soviet Union and NATO. I feel my meager resume pales by comparison. Care to give us kind of your take, your insights into what's going on in Ukraine right now with Putin?
Well, I mean, he's a nasty piece of work, and it shows. He's basically a communist. He's a thug, and he's on the brink of starting World War III if he hasn't already. This is sort of World War III. We hope it doesn't go nuclear. On the other hand, the America really doesn't have an awful lot of business fighting a war in Ukraine. That really isn't our fight. It seems to me we shouldn't be there. We just spent $50 billion. We should be spending $50 billion on Americans, on our border, keeping our border safe, worrying about the people who have drug problems, even getting some baby formula for the mothers who can't find baby formula in this country. And this is Putin's war, if you like, but Biden is turning it into his war as well. And Henry Kissinger said the other day, you probably saw it, that there is some chance this could go nuclear. What does that mean? It probably means tactical nuclear weapons. But, gee, guys, that really isn't in America's interest, and I don't think we should be there.
Why is it when I heard that phone ring, I felt like it was the red phone? I just talking with you, I just had the sneaking suspicion.
Oh, it's the president calling from beyond the pearly gates.
It was the Kremlin or something. Let me ask.
Sorry about that.
No, it's quite all right. It really felt like it was the Kremlin on the red line. Let me ask you this, Daniel. You know, there's so many people who don't have these opportunities to talk to someone who served in a position like yours, especially with people, you know, look back and they think of Ronald Reagan with such nostalgia. Can you share with us, memories or reflections about serving with people? I mean, I look at Ronnie and I think that he was probably one of the greatest presidents of our lifetime, certainly in the modern presidents. Can you share with us a reflection or a story, an anecdote about serving with him?
Well, I just shared one, which showed how wide awake he was. He was jolly and he was popping his jelly beans, but the fact is he knew what was going on. He really understood the process. He'd run California, so he knew how to run a big operation. He knew what his goals were. My sense is he won two wars. He won an economic war, and he won the Cold War. Some people were disappointed that he hadn't abolished the Department of Education, and I was basically put there to write the bill that would dismantle the Department of Education, put it back somewhere where it belonged. I did write a bill. He didn't get it passed, and some people thought he should have pushed harder on that. My sense was that he won two wars, guys, and let's not try to say he should have won a third. I think if he tried to take on the education lobby and establishment in order to get rid of the Department of Education, he might not have won one of the other two wars, the economic war or the Cold War, that he did win. So I think you have to choose your battles and know that even in 8 years, and even when you're president of the United States, you can't do everything. You have to choose. And I thought he was very wise to choose economics and obviously the Cold War and not deal with education. Because in the end, if he'd stuffed education back into HEW where it came from, it still would have been the same bureaucrats and the same outside interests lobbying to get their favorite programs enacted. So I don't think it would have made And it was nearly, I would not have made any, it was nearly as much difference as winning the Cold War and winning the economic war did. So he chose well as to how to be an executive, which is what he was. He was a great executive.
You've got a new book out. It's called Everyday Epiphanies. It's on Amazon. It's available on Amazon now. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
It's a collection of writings over several years, actually from 2019, but more recent ones than old ones. And it's just a collection of columns. I've got another collection coming out this fall. And interesting to read, partly for history, partly just to see how much or how little the public policy debate changes A lot of it is just the same, which indicates perhaps that we haven't learned anything, which is a depressing thought. But I think they make good reading, and some of them quite funny, and at least my friends and family enjoy them, and I think anybody else would too.
Well, and maybe, you know, they say as much as things may change, sometimes they stay the same.
Yeah.
Daniel, I appreciate you again for joining us this evening. Again, the book is called Everyday Epiphanies. It's available on Amazon. Thank you again for joining us this evening and sharing your insights. Carry on the fight, my friend.
My pleasure.
We'll be taking your calls at 7:45. Coming up after the break, we'll begin our 2022 candidate profiles featuring Jamie Bluebaugh, who's running in the Republican primary for District 101, the seat currently held by Representative Joe Seiwert. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.